Today we're going to recall, with the help of Luke's Gospel, the events of that first Easter Sunday. It was the first day of a new week. It was the first day of a new age. But nobody realised that to begin with. Very early in the morning, some women came to Jesus' tomb. Luke's Gospel tells us quite a bit about these women who were followers of Jesus. In verse 10, Luke mentions some names: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and various others. These women had been followers of Jesus for some time. They had watched from a distance as he was crucified. They had seen the tomb and how he was laid in it. On the Friday, Jesus had been buried in haste because the Sabbath, the day of rest, was approaching. There hadn't been time to anoint his body with spices in the normal way. And so once the Sabbath is over, these faithful women return to finish the job. They came very early in the morning, spices in hand, ready to complete the task of anointing a corpse. But what they found was an empty tomb. Verse 4 says they were wondering about this. What's happened here? What does it mean? And the first thing I want us to notice today is that when that empty tomb was discovered, it was unexpected and uncomprehended. As one writer puts it, the opening mood of Easter morning is one of surprise, astonishment, fear, and confusion. That's what happens when something is unexpectedly empty. Imagine that you walk out of your front door one morning, car keys in hand, you go to your garage, and your garage is unexpectedly empty. The day begins with surprise and confusion. Nobody was expecting an empty tomb. The women stand there confused. And suddenly, angels appear with a message. To be honest, I always feel a bit embarrassed talking about angels. They feel like they really just belong in fairy stories. Angels don't feel real to us. That's because even in the Bible, they only show up on very significant occasions. Angelic messengers appeared to announce Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. And now they appear to announce his new life in Jerusalem. In verse 6, the angels say, "He is not here. He has risen, just like he told you." And only then did the women remember. Jesus had actually told his disciples repeatedly that he would have to suffer and die and on the third day rise again. But it seems like they really never got it. That's why when he was crucified and buried, none of the disciples said, "Oh, it's okay, everything will be fine in a couple of days." No, they were devastated. They hadn't understood what he said. And so when these things happened, they didn't remember what he had said until the angels pointed it out. The women go back to the other disciples. They tell them what they've seen and heard. And their reaction shows us again how unexpected this all was. Verse 11 says they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Nobody was there saying, "Oh, it's the third day, must be just about resurrection time." No. Peter, in verse 12, is willing to go and have a look for himself. He gets to the tomb. He sees the grave clothes lying there left behind. And he goes away wondering to himself what has happened. Many people today find the claims of Easter hard to accept. But the problem isn't that people today are more skeptical and less gullible than people used to be. The problem is that the resurrection of Jesus has always been a mind-blowing event. Back then, some people believed in ghosts, others didn't, but everybody agreed that a dead body would stay where it was. People back then, including Jesus' disciples, found the empty tomb just as hard to fathom as people do today. Later that same day, two of the disciples who had heard the women's report were on the road. They were walking to a town called Emmaus, about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. Seems like this was probably their hometown. And as they walked, they were talking to each other about everything that had happened. No doubt they were still pretty perplexed by it all. And another traveller on the road catches up with them and strikes up a conversation. And the way it's put in the original language, it says their eyes were prevented from recognising that this fellow traveller is the risen Jesus. This fellow traveller says, "What are you guys talking about as you walk along?" And they stop walking. They stand still, their faces downcast, and they say, "We're talking about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed. He was crucified 2 days ago. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." They had hoped that this Jesus was going to be the great rescuer, the one who would get rid of the Romans and set God's people free. That's what they had hoped. But now he's dead, those hopes are dashed. They go on to tell this traveller about how not only were their hopes dashed, but now there's this confusing business of the body being missing. The women are claiming that an angel told them that Jesus is risen from the dead, but no one's been able to see that for themselves. These two dispirited disciples on the road obviously don't know what to make of all this. Again, we see how the empty tomb was not expected and not understood. At this point, the stranger who's just struck up a conversation with them on the road starts getting stuck into them. He suggests that Jesus' resurrection should have been expected and should have been understood. Verse 25, he says, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe everything the prophets have spoken." He's telling them that if they'd paid proper attention to the Old Testament scriptures, Jesus' death shouldn't have been a shock, and his resurrection shouldn't have been a surprise. It says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the Old Testament scriptures concerning himself. We're not told which parts of the Old Testament Jesus quotes to them here. Most likely he shows them the overall shape of the story rather than cherry-picking particular verses. But I expect that he included the picture of the Messiah that we find in the Psalms. So many of the Psalms speak about the experience of the great King of God's people, his experience of being bitterly downtrodden by people before being raised up by God. Today we read Psalm 116 as an example, where the psalmist says, "The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. You, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living." The story of the Old Testament points to a king who will suffer, who will go through death and emerge victorious in order to rescue God's people. All the ingredients were there, you just had to look at them from the right angle. And wouldn't you love to have been there as Jesus spelt it out to those two disciples on the road? Those two disciples who actually still don't realize who it is that's speaking to them. The three travelers reach Emmaus, and in the spirit of good Middle Eastern hospitality, the two disciples say to the man that they've met, "Come and stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over." He accepts and comes in to spend the night at their house. That evening, as they were sitting down to eat, Jesus did something that was a bit strange for a guest to do. He took bread
And he gave thanks and he broke it and he started giving it to them. And at that moment, their eyes were opened and suddenly they realized who he was. And then he disappeared from their sight. These two disciples weren't part of the group of 12 who'd shared the Last Supper with Jesus on the Thursday night, but presumably they had shared meals with Jesus over the weeks and months before that. And now, eating a meal with Jesus again, they finally realize who he is. And we naturally wonder, why was it this way? Why hadn't they recognized him earlier? Was it something about the way he was dressed? Was he wearing a cloak with a big hood so they couldn't see his face? Or was it only when he was passing out the bread they could see the marks on his hands? Or was there such a complete difference and disconnect between the risen Jesus and the original Jesus that there was really no similarity to spot? Actually, I don't think any of those explanations are the right one. Back in verse 16, it said that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. It's not just that they didn't happen to see, but there was something stopping them from perceiving. I think that Jesus had supernaturally intervened to temporarily stop them realizing who he was. But then we ask, why would he do that? I actually think it's part of him helping them to see the full picture. Jesus wants them to see what the resurrection means before he shows them that the resurrection is true. If Jesus had just reappeared the same as ever, it would have allowed for various interpretations. Some might have thought he'd never really been dead. Others might have thought that this was simply a resuscitation, like Jairus' daughter or Lazarus, back for a few more years of the mortal life that we live now. But actually, the resurrection of Jesus on the first day of the week is the first day of God's new creation. The writer N.T. Wright puts it this way. He says, God's new creation, brimming with life and joy and new possibility, has burst in upon the world of decay and sorrow. Jesus himself, risen from the dead, is the beginning and the sign of this new world. He says, Jesus has gone through death and out the other side into a new world, a world of new and deathless creation, still physical, only somehow transformed. And it's only after Jesus has explained how the whole Bible points forward to this moment that the disciples can really understand what they're looking at. If you're a Christian believer, this suggests that you should keep on reading your Bible. At this climactic moment in salvation history, Jesus opens the Bible and points out how its whole story leads to him dying and rising again. So if you love Jesus, keep on reading your Bible. It will help you love him more and more. But what if you're a skeptic? A skeptic really has to grapple with the empty tomb. I suggest that the empty tomb is a fact that you can't ignore. Attempts to explain it away always stumble. The idea that Jesus wasn't really dead doesn't stack up. The idea that they got the tombs mixed up doesn't stack up. The idea that the Romans stole the body or that the disciples stole the body doesn't stack up. At some point, you have to confront the fact that the tomb really was empty and the disciples believed that Jesus was risen. And what do you do then? Well, if your mind is a bit closed and you're fully committed to the worldview you already have, then you'll say, I don't know what happened. But the idea of Jesus rising from the dead is just nonsense. That was the initial reaction of the disciples. when the women first rushed back from the tomb. To them, it just seemed like nonsense. They weren't expecting it, and they didn't understand it. But if you're open-minded, then you'll have a look at what persuaded those disciples to accept the resurrection of Jesus and to understand its significance. You'll have to get into the Bible and actually spend a bit of time understanding it. You'll need some help, a good guidebook or a knowledgeable friend. Feel free to give me a call. The Bible is a story about human purpose. It's a story about the relationship between creatures and their creator. It's the story about God's mission to set his world right. It's a story that culminates in the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. It's a story that ends with the whole world set free from death and decay. A world that you can be part of if you'll put your trust in the risen Jesus. Early in the morning on that first Easter Sunday, the angels at the tomb announced, "He is not here, he has risen." And late that same night, when the two travelers rushed back to their friends in Jerusalem, they found the other disciples joyfully acknowledging, "It is true, the Lord has risen." It's an event like no other. It's an event you can only really understand with the help of the Bible. It's the event that launched a whole new age. And it's an event that offers you new life. Thanks for listening.